This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Round with Phil, Chuang and Xiaoning. Right now, let's talk about prison reform, because the front page of Utusan Malaysia yesterday carried some pretty startling statistics. 45,000, or 70% of Malaysia's prison population comprise those convicted of petty crimes and drug offences based on 2020 data.
Additionally, the prison population has exceeded capacity since 2018, even before the pandemic, with nearly 68,000 persons in detention as of October 2021, far beyond the maximum capacity of 60,000 across 38 prisons. The pandemic experience, to a certain extent, revealed the dire conditions of prisons around the world, which became breeding grounds for the spread of COVID-19. In September of last year, the Deputy Home Minister disclosed that over 51,000 COVID-19 infections came from our prison network, including inmates, staff and family members. So what lessons can we draw from the pandemic experience to improve the prison system?
Joining us on the line for recommendations is Gerald Joseph, former commissioner of Suhakam. A good morning to you, Gerald. You mentioned conditions in prisons throughout the time you were in Suhakam commissioner. You know, talk to us about the gaps that you feel have been especially exacerbated by the pandemic.
Morning, thank you. It's not shocking and surprising. Any close place, COVID spreads faster. So prison is really easy place for COVID to spread. So the numbers that you heard was expected. Well, I think the overcrowding issue is a separate issue. I don't think even if it was not overcrowded, COVID would have still spread very fast in such close contact spaces. There's no alternative social distancing in a prison facility because it's a prison facility and they don't have that much space in the facility. So I think one of the things that I've monitored, or at least when I was in Suhakam, we viewed, we get issues ranging from old facilities, some are as old as 140 years. There's one prison in Taiping designated as a heritage prison, so you can hardly touch it to do any renovation without the permission of the Heritage Act department. We still get cases of stress in the prisons, including torture, degrading treatment, food conditions, all which we receive when I was in Suhakam, submit, and it the prison is committed to try to overcome this. But there's also things like shocking to Malaysians, like there's the bucket system. Seven prisons still have the old toilet system, manual toilet system, because there's no modern facilities. And when I was in Suhakam, we were pushing that this should go away in this modern world, modern Malaysia. Scabies is still a health issue, the small mite, you know, under the skin. And that's because of lack of cleanliness, air, fresh air moving in and out, sunlight. Staff shortage is an issue. As you said, once overcrowding happens, many things will be problematic. And that includes the number of staff ratio to two prisoners. And also prisons, when you design a prison for such an amount of person, like example, Sungai Buloh or Kajang was designed for about 2,000 plus, but now I think Kajang is about 5,000. So it's double the capacity. So pipes, water pressure pipes, you're designed for a smaller number, has to pump out water. And so you can already see the logic of things that will be affected. So I think these are some of the things we saw. And of course, right, pandemic shocked every system in Malaysia, including the prison system, and they were struggling. And then when they tried new systems where they had after sentencing, before going into the main prison, now you have another facility where they kept for a few weeks before they're brought into the prison.
Yeah, Gerald. So obviously these conditions you describe are subhumane and obviously not optimal, right? There's limited resources to deal with it, as it is with the country. What measures do you think the government have in place to maybe depopulate the prison system? You know, whether it's the pardon system or whether it's rehabilitation, for example. What are your views on this?
So I think this is an overall call for the reform of the prison system and overcrowding. I think that leads to the statistics of was mentioned yesterday by Wai Bin Nurul Izzah in Parliament about the 60%. So we've also come to hear that 30% of prisoners are linked to immigration offences. Maybe 40% are linked to drug offences. These are not the serious drug traffickers, and these are the users, the drug addicts, you know. So if you keep thinking of the question, if such a huge population keeps getting arrested for drug usage, so we need to find out how to manage them. And is prison the place for drug rehabilitation? It's not. It's a sentencing place. There's no real expertise there. So these two large segments of arrest sentencing needs to be worked on in a different method. And we've been pushing for the reform of the drug management in Malaysia. The we have an anti-drug agency. They only manage a very small number of this drug addiction in Malaysia. Shouldn't drug addicts be managed from a health point of view, from an addiction point of view, rather than a sentencing point of view? So that's one point that needs to happen.
Okay.
The other one is the immigration offences. Many countries see it as an administrative offence, but Malaysia sees it as a serious criminal offence. And so it overfloods the system. You know, people come in, go out, come in, go out. So I think we need to also manage this differently. And that's got to link with how the worker labour issues are managed, how they come in through the so-called Jalan Tikus. That needs to be managed, and also how they easily can lose their so-called legal permit to illegal permit just by the stroke of a pen from the employer. The other issue, I think, of serious need for reforms, I think, is the prisoners coming out and where do they go? And the present prisoners are in, because if the numbers of small offenders are so huge and large, then should there not be any alternative forms of sentencing? And I think this is the word that has been playing around. And I think the prison department, the Director General itself, keeps using this word to push the framework of a restorative justice.
Okay.
Versus a punitive framework. Yeah.
So, Gerald, it looks like we need reform, be it on the sentencing level and also the prison conditions. Do you think that there is political will to reform it, though, both?
I think issues like prison reform really does not get a lot of political attention from the government and members of parliament. One is because our society sees these people, well, they have done offence, they are bad people, you know, why we have to spend money, do this, do that. But these are our own people, could be our relative, our cousin, our friends. And that strange concept needs to change. MPs should stand up and better explain why these people will come back to society. We're not going to throw the key and the lock away once they go in. And so the question is, and then we get angry when there's this one or two stories of a mother who stole some milk or, you know, desperately needs, but get a long sentencing. And then, of course, there are high priority prisoners convicted of billions of dollars and still walking away scot-free. So they feel that, hey, something is wrong with our system. So I think sentencing guidelines really need to come in so that we can think of alternatives when it's very not serious measures of criminality.
So then just to interject a bit, just a quick one then, you know, in your perspective, right, when a prisoner leaves prison, right, and tries to reintegrate back to society, where is the support and assistance there?
So that's a great question, because if now we find out there's someone doing a small shop in our taman, and that person working there is an ex-prisoner, word will spread around. Be careful. Don't go there. Hold your handbag. And this is tough. And I think that's why we need to call on the business sector. There's some companies who actually open up their doors for the parole system to actually employ prisoners without a serious chance of re-employment. That dignity of getting back to society just goes down the drain. And people who feel that the education reform in prison may have helped come out, and this lack of support system. I can think of some companies that come to my mind, like I know Panasonic, MRCB, Bausted, some other companies, even Felcra, ready to employ ex-prisoners into their system. And I think we need to also prepare our community that, okay, they have done wrong through, they have served their time, and the time under the prison system is supposed to train them back to come back to society. And we should be comfortable with this framework of a second chance. Haven't we all done 100 things when we were young, adult, made mistakes and begged for forgiveness? So a second chance is something that needs to be done. But also, there is this, during the pandemic, the Director General of Prison has powers for early prison, early licensed prison release framework called PBSL. I was a committee member. And every month, the committee looks at those below 12 months sentencing for release from the system. And I think that's going on quite well. But the release is conditioned upon a place to stay, family members accepting, and sometimes family members don't accept for a variety of reasons, some are drug addict. And the other one, employment. And that's the most difficult part.
Yeah, thank you, Gerald. That was Gerald Joseph, former commissioner of Suhakam. I think really giving us an extensive overview about the amount of challenges that we really need to overhaul our prison system. You know, what struck me was what Gandhi said last time. The true measure of any society can be found in how it treats its most vulnerable members. I always wonder when I hear what Gerald was saying just now, aren't our prisoners also one of the most vulnerable members of society?
Exactly. And we need to understand why in the first place are they in the prison system. A little bit of empathy is necessary. But we look at reform, right? From what I hear from Gerald, two things. One of which is the conditions that the prisons are in. And I'm shocked. Some of the prisons are extremely old. Why are we still, for example, having bucket system? This is 2022, you know, guys. It's like, you shouldn't even have to imagine that these things are still happening in this day and age. Then there's the sentencing, right? That's the other part of reform that we need to consider.
Have you been to the public schools, huh? The toilets there are not much better. I mean, the thing is, in terms of fiscal public spend on our institutions, right, schools, prisons, what have you, they're terrible. I mean, some of the government offices are just as bad. I mean, let's not go there.
Okay, but the point is there then political will to push this agenda through, right? But because we lack a sense of empathy and we think, oh, these people deserve to go to prison in the first place, then we don't want to talk about these issues at all. We sweep it under the rug.
It's that stigma of what we think prisoners are, right? That they should be punished, that they should continue to punish. And as what Gerald was saying at the end, have we all not made mistakes? Who is the first to cast a stone?
Yeah, exactly. So I think this is something I hope the politicians pay attention to. We cannot allow these conditions to continue in 2022.
All it takes is actually one individual, you know, who's had a visceral experience in terms of maybe a relative or a good friend who's actually fallen through the cracks and gone into the system. And I think it's at some point in time, a couple of years ago, Sites Today was wanted to try and push the policy where ex-convicts were given a chance to rehabilitate themselves in society. Not quite sure how that's going, but I think that's quite a good idea.
And I think this is where society really has to put pressure to make sure that we create really right living conditions for everybody, including our prisoners. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.